Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague and friend, Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. The new Trump administration in 25, what is to be done? We begin with Ukraine. Richard, the talk is that Mr. Trump and his counselors want the Ukraine war done within 24 hours or by Inauguration Day or some short-term schedule. You believe this is impractical and unnecessary. Why so? Good evening to you.
Well, first of all, Mr. Putin is a wily adversary, and the only kind of settlement you could get within 24 hours would either be unacceptable to Ukraine or unacceptable to him. What you have to do in order to get a successful situation is change the material situation on the ground. And so the first thing that he has to do is essentially to take a couple of hawk-like moves. The first thing he has to do is to tell the Ukrainians, you've got weapons. We're giving you complete authorization to fire at any spot in Russia from which they are launching attacks on the Ukraine, so that all the prohibitions on the Biden administration will be removed, at which point the pressure will be enormous because most of the sites from which Russia operates are exposed and unprotected, and so therefore subject to devastating shock. Second thing you have to do is to flood the market with oil and gas in such a way that the world prices go down, and when the prices go down, it's an effective sanction against Putin, who can no longer pick things up. And if you do those two things, and then you start to do it, what's going to happen is the Russian position will basically falter in the eastern Ukraine, and the Ukrainians will be able to maintain and perhaps expand their beachhead inside of Russia at Kursk and so forth. Once you do that, then the negotiations could start to take place. So the first thing he has to do is to make that credible. And there was a lot of talk just a couple of days ago that what he really wanted to do was to turn tail and to run, at which point the Soviet advantage would be enormous, and the Ukraine would either collapse or be seriously compromised, and the rest of the Western alliance would fall as well. The most recent story that I saw in the Sun this morning, an excellent paper, was that he had basically reversed himself. And with the appointment of his cabinet, he's much more hawkish on all of these kinds of issues. Then what he has to do is to complement that by being extremely tough with respect to what's happening in Iran and reverse everything that Biden tried to do. Appeasement will not work with those guys. They're pure thugs. And there's nothing that you can say or do to them except force. Anything else they will not understand. That then has to translate into going after the Houthis and making sure that the stuff that takes place in Lebanon and Gaza is decided on Western terms. In other words, he has to have a complete repudiation of every piece of the Biden policies in order to make sure that his particular program will work. And then he's very good at jawboning, and it's clear to me that he has to basically go back to Western Europe and say, you guys have got to strengthen your commitments to NATO. That's going to be a little bit tricky for some, but not all. Places like Poland and Bulgaria and so forth, they're all in on this program because they're right on the boundary line. The problem is the two major programs in Europe, France and Germany, are both under weak and divisive literature, and nobody knows who's going to be around in the next month or two.
Let me contribute to that observation, Richard. I spoke with Berlin yesterday, the Carnegie Endowment, and on the EU. Germany is in collapse. The coalition will call for a new election as early as February. France is quiet. The UK is distraught with the taxes coming. And Spain is disrupted by the badly handling of the floods. So we're looking quickly at the major players in NATO and the EU, all in weakened conditions. Does that help Mr. Trump?
Well, it certainly means that he has greater leverage over them. But what happens is it depends upon the reconfiguration after an election. The only place in which it turns out things seem to be going in the correct direction is in Italy. And that's kind of all. But the woman there in power is very powerful. And she has made and projected an image. I think it will help, because I think what's going to happen is that people will put two and two and two together and come up with six, not eight. And what they will say is, if the Russians manage to win in the Ukraine, they will take their alliance, not just their own troops, and that includes the North Koreans, that includes the Iranians, and it includes the Chinese, and will put them together to put pressure on the eastern states in Europe. And that's just not a tolerable situation. That is, the danger that Russia is so dangerous is on its own, it can't do very much. But with these alliances, God knows what it can do. It won't get too many men, but it will certainly get some, like the North Koreans, and it will get intelligence, it will get armaments, it will get utilities, and all that stuff makes him a very dangerous man. So maximum force is the only thing that he understands, and we are in position to do it. The other thing he has to do, it's not just Ukraine, is he has to reverse the systematic decline in the American Navy and generally the American forces. Biden cut in real terms the budget every year that he was in office because he always thought that his unparalleled negotiation skills would carry him over a rough spot. But what will happen is the more that the information comes out about what went on, the more pathetic he and Kamala Harris will look like. And so I think, in effect, by the time January 21st comes, both Harris and Biden will be in the rearview mirror. American policy will be spent upon trying to undo what they have wrongly done and will, in a large measure, succeed. So I am reasonably optimistic on this front. More optimistic today when I wrote when I wrote the original column. I'm much more worried about tariffs, and that's a different story.
Yes, let me, before we go to tariffs, the Middle East. It is observed, and in conversation with Jerusalem, I've heard this for several days now, that with Golan's departure, Bibi Netanyahu is in charge of the war fighting for the cabinet. And Katz, the new foreign minister, endorses Iran is the problem. We have an opportunity to take control of the battlefield. Between now and January 20th, the way it's put is that, and I spoke with John Bolton about this, the way it's put is that Bibi has an open shot here. Biden has no leverage, and Trump is standing back. An open shot to undermine, destroy either the nuclear program in Iran or the leadership. What is your opinion of that open shot between now and January 20th?
Look, I mean, my view is whenever you have an opportunity, you take it. And the reason it's an open shot now, since Trump is not formally in power, they can do this without having as many domestic repercussions in the United States as would otherwise be the situation. And so I think they should do it. I don't know exactly what or how. I'm not a tactician, so I don't know what the sites are. But if it means taking out some oil fields, I can't rule that off the table. If it means going after the nuclear plants, can't rule that off the table. My guess is the latter would require some assistance of American military expertise. The former does not. It's also clear that you don't have to take it all out. You can take some of it out. It's also clear that what you could do is interdict any ships carrying oil outside of Iran to China and other places in order to stop that flow from happening so as to put the pressure on the Chinese and so forth. But I think, in effect, one has to basically destabilize that regime. And if there's a massive reduction in revenues, the rest of the population there may well boil over, which would be a transition that always has its risk. But those risks are small compared to the risk that you face by keeping these clowns in power and letting them do stuff. And the same thing, what we have to do is completely defang the United Nations. All they do is basically they're a hindrance. The head of the United Nations, Mr. Guterres, is one of the most incompetent public officials I've ever met in my entire, not met, ever heard of in my entire life. And what Trump has to do is to basically push hard on that. And if push comes to shove, I'm perfectly willing to see us pull out of the United Nations because I think it's become a completely unreliable anti-Semitic hate spot. And that's not true of everybody there, but the organization is now dominated by people who are not in charge in the way they were in 1945. It's just a very different organization with very different aspirations. Right, right. And our sentimental attachment to it as a peacekeeping operation has to go sharp revision.
Professor Richard Epstein, the Hoover Institution, what is to be done in 2025 with the new administration? When we come back, tariffs. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Beck.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/football fuel points TC.